tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, the go-home show before Money in the Bank, the Women's Summit, and Nakamura with some low blows. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All hail the king! Not only did he make his return to SmackDown Live, but you are now listening to the kings of breaking down SmackDown Live, live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud. Like and subscribe and telling your friends and your foes about AfterBuzz TV as we break down SmackDown, heading into Money in the Bank. I am Christian Rosenberg, full crew back with me tonight. My queen of the AfterBuzz reviews, Miss Gabby Loren.
I was waiting for you to say queen over here. You said kings.
Well, it's all about royalty. And then the jester.
I'm not a king. What are you talking about?
Is here as well. Hello, Sir Tom.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Squire Tom.
That works.
Well,
that
feels so appreciated.
Why can't it be a prince or something? You know.
He just called you a squire.
You know, as we you know, enlighten the royal subjects that listen and watch on iTunes and SoundCloud and YouTube. All right, that's enough of that.
You sound like we're in an episode of Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah.
Money in the Bank is coming.
Yeah. It's getting intense.
Money in the Bank is coming. All right, so go home show heading into Money in the Bank. I thought it was a very packed show that really delivered some unique matches while still bringing the stories into fold heading into this Sunday. What did you guys think?
I think I'm very pleased when we have at least four matches in an episode. SmackDown tonight was really good, I thought, as well. And I really liked how Paige switched it up with that tag team at the end. So, overall, great.
Yeah, I mean, the A-Show continues to be the A-Show.
The A-Show is on Tuesday nights. We know
this. It'll be on Fridays, but, you know, for now, it's
we
Tuesdays.
Got a year and a half.
Yeah, we got a long way to go.
We got a ways to worry about that.
I thought it was good. I mean, great matches. I like the whole, like, first time matches for, you know, almost every match was
almost every was
yeah,
a first
it really
time
like one. Yeah, yeah, consider what the women's match at the end. Mm-hmm. They've never had a 10 woman tag match, so
with this combination,
yeah, or no, on SmackDown ever
in general,
they never
yeah
had it on SmackDown ever.
They've this, never been this no was the first 10 women tag yes ever on SmackDown. Uh-huh. Oh, I yeah didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go, lots of firsts.
Yep.
and we start with the first women's summit, because that's just what they called it. Paige is in the ring with Lana, Charlotte, Naomi, and Becky Lynch, the four women that represent SmackDown for this Sunday's Money in the Bank ladder match. Paige really wants that briefcase to be back on SmackDown. But while they're talking, all I could think about was my Christian's Closet segment. Because it's happening right at the start of the show. Because that's where it belonged tonight.
Can I guess what it was for?
You'll be able to, I'm sure. But let's hit the Christian's Closet music, please. A little Billy and Chuck action for you all. Tom, go ahead and guess.
I'm going to guess it was Lana's new shirt.
You're damn right it was Lana's
yes
new shirt.
Lana made it in again.
Lana's got a shirt. Mm. It's Happy Lana Day. It's just like the Happy Rusev Day, except the colors of the Russian flag as opposed to the Bulgarian flag. I love that she's finally got some merch. It's far overdue.
She's never had a shirt before?
I don't believe so. If so, it's not one that stuck out like this.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think she has.
No, so about damn time. I love it. People buy it. Tom's got a Rusev Day shirt. He's going to buy a Lana Day shirt now to match it.
I think I'm going to have to.
You're going to have to. So I love it. That was really the only like real Christian's Closet thing this week. So
we got plenty more later.
Nah, I don't know about that. Oh, we yes, only we have do so much time. All right, we can cut that music for now. But so all the women are kind of going over their accolades and what they've accomplished. Naomi reminds us that she won that battle royal at WrestleMania that everyone's already forgot about. And Charlotte talks about all her accolades. And then Becky, this is why I love Becky Lynch. Besides the fact that she's a great wrestler, we already know that. Her promo work is so good when they give her the chance to actually cut a real promo. Mm-hmm. So tonight she's talking about, I was the first SmackDown Women's Champion. I wasn't the first this. But I'm sick of saying I was. It's time for me to start saying I am. And I am going to win this Sunday. I am going to cash in on Asuka or Carmella. And I am going to become the Tootnid and so on and so on. I love that you felt it. You felt like it's genuine passion out of her because she's a very passionate performer. She's passionate about what she does. And I want more of that.
Yeah, and I'll second that. I think when they do give her promos to cut, that she does actually do a really good job. And it's funny you mentioned that because I wasn't even thinking about the fact that she was getting more promo work. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I really like what Becky's doing, especially over the last, like, 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, the last few weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny that you mentioned that because now I'm understanding why it was kind of like a subconscious thing, but it's because she is speaking more and they're allowing her to do more with it, and I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought all four of them did really well. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really enjoying Paige as the GM. Yeah. Because I feel like she's, like, giving them goals of being like, I want you to do this. Like, not, like, mm-hmm. not undermining them or being like, you have to do this. Like, I want you to do this. Like, I feel like with Stephanie, it's very different on the other side of, like, you know, if you don't do it, you're going to be punished. Like, right. This is just like,
as listen, if Paige is a better boss.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just like, hey, I want this on my show, mm-hmm. so I want you to, you know, accomplish this.
And I'm confident that you'll be able to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Well, speaking mm-hmm. of Paige, when Sonya and Mandy came out, you know, post Iconics, it was cool to me because now we're finally seeing the storyline play out between Paige, Sonya, and Mandy. I feel like this is the start of them attacking Paige. And not being on Paige's side.
Well, you had so many stories kind of wrapped in here, which was great. So you had Charlotte and Becky kind of continue their little seed planting of the best friends. Mm-hmm. You have Lana and the fact that, why is nobody still taking me seriously? I'm in the Money in the Bank ladder match. You have Mandy and Sonya come out to confront Paige. You have Peyton and Billy continue to just annoy the hell out of everybody.
Yeah, I think they were great tonight.
And they were awesome.
Always. Yeah,
they were super funny tonight. normally that I'm like, I kind of roll my eyes and be like, that was kind of a little too corny, but I thought everything they did tonight was actually very entertaining.
I thought it was great. No? You didn't like them?
No, I'm saying I don't agree with Tom in the sense that they have some corny segments. I think all of their segments are amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. They're great.
I think it's what some of their lines are a little corny.
No.
But even if some of their lines are corny, their reactions after where they kind of do the weight and just the eye movements for the crowd response makes the corniness stick out more, which is good. You don't want a corny line to just kind of fade. If it's corny, you want to go over the top with it
to make the crowd...
annoyed.
Well, yeah, it's not like an awkward corny where everyone's like silent. Right. This is something that is, you know, getting a reaction out of the crowd. So, yeah, I think they're doing a phenomenal job.
So this leads into a massive brawl between the women. Referees come out to separate them. And then we find out that they're going to be involved in the main event, which we'll get to a little later because a couple more pieces get added to it. The first official match, brought to you by Zizel Allergy Relief. It's such an odd placement for that.
Hey, gotta get that money.
Gotta get that money. Daniel Bryan and Shelton Benjamin. And you know, like with all the matches that we're also excited about for, like, Daniel Bryan's back, he can wrestle this guy, he can wrestle this guy. I don't think anyone thought, oh, wait, we can have him with Shelton Benjamin. Mm. And as soon as I saw the graphic, I'm like, whoa, what? We're getting this right now? Okay.
Yeah, I saw them kind of like talking trash on Twitter a little bit over the weekend. So I was like, ooh, is this going to be a match this week?
So Twitter spoiled it again.
I'm fine with them. At least they're doing something and, like, making it, not just throwing these two in a match together just to be like, oh, it's the first match they've ever had. Like, at least give some kind of a story.
Sure. You know? So first time ever between the two of them, and just a... And you know that they can do, like, 10 times more than what they did tonight if they built it up for, like, a pay-per-view match.
Right.
But this was a technical masterpiece.
Yeah.
Still, just counter after counter, lots of mat wrestling, lots of submissions. Towards the end, where Shelton countered the yes lock right into the single leg crab that he was working on throughout the match on Brian's knee. And then eventually, Brian then counters the single leg crab into the heel hook. And then make Shelton tap out to get the win, build the momentum for Daniel. as he goes against Big Cass this Sunday. I was ready for a Big Cass run-in. Mm-hmm. That's where I thought the Big Cass moment would be tonight. We're going to get to what his moment was.
Yeah.
But that's where I thought it would be, to have him like kind of stand tall with him really with the momentum headed into the match, because I feel like it would have benefited him more than what they did tonight.
I don't think so. I think we've seen a lot of Big Cass, especially interrupting Daniel Bryan and the things he's doing in the ring. So why not try something different this week? I think it was well played.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to that later. I thought the match was awesome because I just didn't like it.
Too intense?
No, not
yes,
intense.
Yes, Gabby, very intense.
I mean, what was intense was
you might have been offended.
What was intense was that Daniel Bryan promo that he put on, that was from last week.
Right, that WWE.com aired.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yes.
Like, if you watch that, you're just like, I love this guy. I can't wait to see him beat the crap out of this other guy. Like, even if I didn't know who he was fighting, I'd be like, all right, yeah, I'm definitely watching that. I definitely want to see what happens.
I don't know who this guy is, but I want to watch him break his leg in half.
Yes, yeah. And I, man, that knee to his face and when he was on the AR corner on the turnbuckle,
mm-hmm.
when showing, that was awesome. Like, I was like, oh, wasn't expecting that. That was like out of nowhere. But yeah, it was an awesome match, and it was fun to see. I could definitely, let's see it again for like, you know, maybe 20 minutes.
Sure.
25 minutes.
Fine by me.
Strong match. I just didn't obviously think Shelton had a chance at winning.
Yeah.
It's very clear that Daniel Bryan's winning every match, especially since he's come back.
Well, he lost to Rusev not too long ago.
Rusev deserved his chance.
Yeah,
and
but, yeah,
those are also two huge people. And not to say that Shelton isn't big or he's not going to be big, but I don't think he's on that level right now.
Well, one of them has a match that they've been hyping up this Sunday. One of them's not on the card. So you know from that. Paige is backstage with Asuka. Asuka says she wants Carmella tonight. And Paige said, well, I can't give you her one-on-one tonight because our card's kind of full. Tell you what, I'll add you two to the tag match. So now instead of an 8-woman tag match, it'll be a 10-woman tag. Asuka's happy. She walks off. Paige then walks and runs into Miz, who's in a referee outfit. And she's asking, what are you doing right now? Oh, I'm rehearsing. I have a big audition for the movie Rough Rough Ref. I'm mentoring a dog who wants to be a referee at WrestleMania. And I think it's going to be like my biggest role. And Paige is like, shut up. I know what you're doing.
I've already started on the script, Miz. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Tom's working on it, Miz. Don't you worry.
Writes itself.
But here's the one part with Paige. As much as I agree and I've been loving what you did, she did this last week and she did it again tonight. So she goes like, Miz, I don't know what you're trying to do. I'm in charge. I decide what's going to happen. So I'm going to let you do what you just asked to do.
Which is insane.
but to me, it's just like, well, if you're making like a proclamation that I'm in charge, I make the matches, I say who's the special referee. All right, you're the special referee. This is like, well, that. I mean, even Miz in the promo to me would be like, oh, wait, really? Because that was what I was asking.
It was just too easy. Essentially, she's establishing, I am the authority, you listen to me. But it's actually a good idea, so I'm going to let you get away with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was just like, well, then just at the beginning say, you know what? I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't if be only like, the world, I'm in charge.
Yeah. If only the world worked like that more often.
No, I just found that kind of odd.
Yeah.
I did too. That happens in real life too, you guys.
Never.
All the time.
Then the Hall of Famer, Jerry the King Lawler, makes his way out to his home crowd of Memphis. Not wearing a shirt under his jacket, but whatever.
Why would he be?
I know, he never did. Why start now?
He's ready to fight.
Yeah.
Nice little surprise tonight.
And then he is on, like, that stage to the side of the stage that they started last week with Renee.
Do you like that they're doing this, or?
I love the setup. I personally don't like that their backs are turned to the crowd.
I 100% agree with you on that.
But I understand why. Because they want to see the crowd behind them with everything and not just some wall. I get that. But also for the live crowd, they're looking at their backs.
Yeah.
It's the same as like the Hall of Fame setup, no? When they do the live from the red carpet. When they're doing those like one-off interviews in the crowd,
from the red carpet
backs
pre-show,
are essentially
yes.
to
yes.
the crowd there yes. too. Not that it's like on the same scale as a SmackDown live show, but they're doing the same thing.
Right.
Mm. And I understand why. And as long as it's on the Jumbotron, like, I think it's fine.
But I think they could do it to the, like, either left or right. And, like, you just see maybe part of the crowd, like, a little bit, but mm-hmm. they're still facing the crowd.
Yeah. Not the same energy, you guys.
No, but I think, no, because I think it's better, though. Like, to me, it's the old school of, like, Mean Gene.
That's exactly what it is. It's
you know,
the mean
coming
Gene
out
setup.
And, you know, after they just had a match or before, and it was always them facing, you know, the background, the set in the background, and the crowd could see what was happening. Because if I can't really see, you know, AJ's face when he's talking, and I just hear him, it's kind of, you know, if
most people don't hear, I mean, I want to say most people don't see the face because some people don't have great seats.
Yeah, well,
what
I guess,
about that?
Well, I guess they'd have to look in the. Yeah, but they're yes, but when they're looking at the TV, yeah. they're seeing the front. They're seeing their face.
Exactly.
I mean, tonight's SmackDown crowd. I don't know if anything happened at a dark match. There probably was, but during the actual show, their champion they saw the back of his head for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, that's what it was.
Like yeah. the dark match.
Oh, well, I don't know about the dark. Match.
Oh, you're yeah. saying you don't know. About
but
the dark
but
match.
As far as. On the physical SmackDown show, mm-hmm. they got the back of AJ's head for 2 minutes because
yeah.
he was Jerry Lawler's guest. And AJ said, I should probably apologize for the slap I gave last week. I should apologize because I didn't knock his face off. If he's going to act like a child, then I'm going to act like a man, the last man standing. And it was just a little promo hyping up the match. Nothing great with it. Mm-hmm. But Jerry Lawler was there, so that was cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it from home. I thought it was awesome. Not complaining.
Yeah, it was fine. It was a good promo. It was, you know, it ended a little weird, I thought, where like, I feel like Lawler was like, all right, that's it? We're not talking anything else? Okay.
All right. Yeah.
That's all you guys brought me here for? Yeah. Okay. All
right, bye.
Well, well yeah.
He doesn't live far. So.
I'm glad, yeah. I know. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, we got to hype the match, so sure. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Next first time ever match, Samoa Joe versus Rusev with Miz as the referee.
Whose idea was that?
You missed that a segment or two ago.
Paige or the Miz's idea? Or the dogs?
I'm gonna say it was Ruff Ruff Refs.
Okay, good.
Ruff Ruff Refs.
That's
idea.
What I thought.
So you want to talk about complete contrast from the Dan O'Brien Shelton Benjamin mask match where it was just reversals and just great submission wrestling, technical wrestling. These two just beat the crap out of each other.
Mm.
Just vicious blows left and right. Where it was interesting because this is not neither their normal style, really. Joe is fairly quick and obviously does all the submission styles too. Rusev, for a man his size, has a little more finesse, does a lot more with kicks than what he did in this match. But they're just clubbing each other away, like really putting over the fact that, hey, these are two of the bigger men in the Money in the Bank ladder match. So how are the smaller guys, how's the Finn Balor of the match? How's the, you know, if it ends up being Xavier Woods or Kofi Kingston from the New Day in the match, how are they gonna cope with someone like Samoa Joe or Rusev just bludgeoning them?
Does that mean Biggie's like definitely out now that we have like these two big guys?
Not necessarily.
Or could there be three big guys?
Well, you still
also got Strowman.
And Owens.
Okay, yeah. But I mean, like, big in a different direction, all right?
I don't know.
We're talking horizontal here.
Well, when we get into our predictions at the end, maybe we'll see. End of the match, Miz is being distracted by Aiden English. Joe tries to hit a splash on Rusev in the corner. Rusev gets out of the way. Joe accidentally hits Miz. Miz then refuses to make the count for Joe. Joe gets in Miz's face. He turns into a Machka kick. And Rusev pins Samoa Joe. Now, granted, yeah, there was like the distraction and all that with Miz. So you can technically count the win tainted. But Rusev still pinned Samoa Joe. When was the last time Joe got pinned?
And then, like, you know, Rusev is finally winning again.
And Rusev is winning.
Or in general winning. Yeah. So, congrats.
Rusev grabs a ladder to climb up to kind of symbolize grabbing the briefcase that he won Money in Bank. But as he's getting it set up, Miz comes back to the ring. Skull Crushing Finale on Rusev. Takes him out. Miz then grabs the briefcase. Brings it to the announce table. Tells him, look in there. There's my contract. First off, why would the contract be in there now?
Because it's always in there. They got to sign it after they get it.
They put the contract in at the actual Money in the Bank match. The briefcase is just there for show.
No, listen. It goes in. Once the briefcase comes out, it's got a contract in it.
I don't understand that.
It's always in there. It never comes out.
Well, the contract.
When do we ever see the contract? Have you ever seen the contract inside there?
I feel like at the very beginning.
Maybe once, yeah. But it's not like they pull it out and are like, I'm signing this and cashing it in.
But there was no contract in this briefcase. There was lots of pancakes.
Yeah.
And Miz is furious, yelling for the New Day. And then we cut real quick to the New Day in the back, laughing hysterically. Big E with a bowl of pancake batter. And Kofi and Xavier sharing a t-shirt. wearing one t-shirt together. Just laughing hysterically.
Doesn't this bring you back to like the 90s when all the wrestlers were on roids? Because the Miz.
Wait, time out. Where does that have to do with anything?
Well, I'm just saying, like, the Miz was so crazy tonight when he brought that briefcase to the announce table. Did you see his face and how much, like, animosity?
Are you claiming the Miz had roid rage tonight? Is that what you're saying?
That's what
right
I'm
now?
Trying to say. He had roid rage.
Wow. Wow.
Don't you agree?
No.
Did you not see
Wait,
his
you
face?
You just mean when he was mad at the end?
I'm not talking about reffing. I'm talking about when he was angry that the briefcase.
He's the star of Rough Rough Ref.
Yeah. He was in rage. He was in rage mode, but he wasn't.
He channeled his inner Tom Connelly.
Yeah. Rough Rough Ref is non-existent. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
is it something
I
he came up with in his
I
head?
I haven't wrote the script yet, okay?
Delusional. And then
WrestleMania 2000 whatever.
2000 like 50 maybe. No, he literally was so delusional tonight. I mean, it was a great, you know, part on his character that he was creating things in his head, got him to where he needed to be. But then at the end of this match, he was just freaking out. I've never seen him like that angry in a while. So,
I mean, interesting. The New Day, like those guys, they're amazing.
On TV for 10 seconds today, and it's all they needed.
All they had to do was laugh.
Ten seconds, and it was probably my favorite part of the show. Like, because at first you look at them and they cut to them for like 2 seconds of them laughing and then cut away to The Miz. And you're like, why are they standing so close to each other? And then they cut back and you realize that they're both in the same shirt, Xavier and Kofi. And I'm just like where do these guys think of this stuff? Like, it's funny
all from up, down, down. Because up, down, and they just did a thing where the Usos and Big E and Kofi were in these giant sweatshirts that they had to share. Where so each one only can hold a controller with one hand each, and they would play. They steal things from what they do on Up, Up, Down. And a couple weeks ago, in Xavier, one of his matches, he did a move for the first time that he started doing with his create a wrestler character on one of the games that he's been making.
Oh, wow.
It's so interesting what they do.
Yeah.
I love every second of it.
I want to say one thing to Gabby. A 10-year-old... won a WWE championship, tag team championship, WrestleMania this year.
So anything's
possible. We are not far off from Rough Rough referee in the main event of WrestleMania.
Okay, valid points. Valid points. I understand.
Listen, Vince is getting older. We never know what's going to come out of his mouth.
Jeff Hardy versus Nakamura. Another first-time match. Very intriguing match also. This match, I was honestly surprised. I felt they finally did the United States title some justice in this match. Because the last couple times we saw Jeff Hardy, A, he's not feuding with anybody for the title right now. Mm-hmm. B, the last couple times we saw him, he's lost.
Yeah.
While being the champion.
Mm-hmm.
So they had this match go the distance. They had you think that Jeff Hardy would beat Nakamura. He hit the Swanton Bomb. Nakamura got his foot on the rope. And then Nakamura intentionally gets himself disqualified with a low blow, and then from there hits a Kinshasa on Hardy, does his 10 count to you know, continue to get in AJ's head. Were you surprised that AJ didn't run out?
Yes.
After this?
Very surprised.
No, I wasn't. I think he's okay. Like, I think he wanted a week off, all right? That's what it came down to. He just wanted a break.
When was the last time you wrestled, though? Did we wrestle last week, AJ?
Yeah, didn't... AJ was involved in a storyline with Nakamura last week.
Yeah, no, they just did a contract sign.
Yeah, they were just backstage.
Yeah, but I mean, that was intense, and Nakamura was mocking him.
AJ didn't...
Last week, the crowd didn't even get to see AJ in person. They only got to see him backstage. This week, they got to see the back of his head.
Listen, if you were in that meeting and you were AJ, you would be upset, too.
Oh, yeah,
I think he's just frustrated, and he needed time to, like, decompress.
I just thought we'd see at least one more confrontation between them. At least AJ trying to get back in Nakamura before Sunday.
But. You know what? This is interesting, actually, because this adds another element. Now he's getting on Jeff Hardy's bad side. He mocked him. He's also giving low blows. So
I think it was just all slowly. To symbolize to AJ. I don't think there's going to be a feud with Jeff Hardy.
Why not?
If he doesn't win on Sunday, if he loses,
then he jumps down and then he drops to the U.S. title, then maybe, but... But I don't know. I think this was just kind of a one-off.
But I think if you're going to low-blow somebody in a wrestling match, then there has to be some kind of follow-up to that.
But that's been Nakamura's thing.
Yeah.
Only as of recent with AJ.
It's been for 2 months now with whoever.
With mainly AJ.
I mean, AJ's been the main target, but he's done it on other people.
The main / only target for most of the time, but yes.
Yeah, I don't think has he done it to anybody else besides...
I don't think so.
I feel like he did it to Dillinger.
Did he? Okay, he may.
After the match.
Oh, maybe.
I could be wrong on that, though.
Mm. Comment if you know.
Yeah.
Yes. Chat roll. Let us know. And also, you can let us know what you like and don't like about the show by leaving us comments on iTunes. Make sure you give us that 5 stars, like and subscribe, tell your friends, and of course, leave the comments on the YouTube page as well. We want to know what you're enjoying about the show. We want to know what you would like us to do more of. Would you like... Tom to rage more. He hasn't raged in a while lately.
Listen, SmackDown's A show. I don't need the rage.
Would you want less Christian's Closet segments? I know that's impossible. We want more and
more wrestling rap.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we didn't get to the second Christian Closet.
Was there another Christian's Closet?
Yeah, what about Samoa Joe? What do you think of that haircut?
Well, that's not
a closet.
Oh, yeah, but it's still like a fashion thing.
That's a new segment. You better come up with that.
That's going to be Tom's segment. Tom is going to talk about hairstyles.
All right, Baron Corbin, good job. Okay. Samoa Joe, it's okay. It'll grow in.
I don't think there's anyone on this panel that can talk about hairstyles better than Tom Connor.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. You got the fashion, I got the hairstyles.
There you go. Carmella is backstage getting makeup done. Renee comes over to interview her. She's like, "Ew, Renee, move. I don't want you on my Instagram." And she just kind of continues on saying she's not concerned about Oscar. I thought it was a fun little comedic promo, just still continuing to show the cockiness of Carmella. Nothing much to talk about, but it was good.
Mm-hmm. Poor Renee, all her interviews, backstage or in-ring, like she keeps getting the backhand by all these wrestlers lately.
She's like, I'm just trying to do my job. Yeah.
They hire her to do this. Yeah. Speaking of which, then we go to Renee backstage with Big Cass. Here's my nitpick. It's not like a full rage like I did in place of Tom last week. So Renee with the microphone tries to interview Big Cass. Big Cass immediately says, Renee, I got this. You can go. Renee then leaves with the microphone.
Which was awkward to me.
And Big Cass is talking just fine. We can hear him perfectly. No mic needed.
What about the people in the crowd?
That's a fair question. Mm. Did you guys hear it? You probably did. Big Cass then, similar I felt to last week. I thought the story at the beginning, I'm like, okay, this is starting good. We're going to build to something here. I made a rare appearance at the Memphis County Fair. They paid me 25 large to appear at the premiere of their new roller coaster. I pretended to smile.
This is so silly.
I pretended to smile, took some pictures, and then took my money. But there's one other thing that I took. And I was waiting to see him take, like, all of a sudden he shows a Daniel Bryan doll or a Daniel Bryan t-shirt or something like that, that then he would just, like, rip up and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
We have a height requirement sign that apparently goes up to 7 feet tall because we see so many height requirement signs at amusement parks that list you going up to 7 feet.
Actually, normally if you're that tall, you can't get on the ride. It's the opposite.
Right. You're too tall for
the ride. Yeah, you're too tall. Never heard of this ride.
And
so did Cass make it on the ride? I don't think he did then.
I don't think this is the ride
he created, essentially.
And then I had the classic 48 inches, 4 feet of, like, you must be at least this tall to ride. I guess Daniel Bryan can't ride this roller coaster.
See, this is the flaw in this whole thing. If
Daniel Bryan's like 5'8", first off.
If this was something that they made, you think he would have changed the height to be, you know, taller than Daniel Bryan, so he really couldn't ride the ride.
Right.
Like, we know how tall he is. It's not a mystery.
He's not 4 feet tall.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that was silly. And then even when he brought his hand down, it went to like 4 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, it made no sense.
And honestly, this is a point where I honestly now feel bad for Cass.
I'm not there yet.
Just because it's just like, we know he's not the one writing this part.
Yeah.
It's not him being like, oh, I got this idea. Let's make this sign. I don't think he has that type of stroke in the back. But
maybe he made it himself.
Yeah,
he did it to 7 feet tall.
He's like, let me get to my wood shop. I got a project that I can make be great for this week's SmackDown. I mean, and I almost feel bad for him because it's just like, we're not buying that this whole feud is because you're tall and he's short.
So if he beats Daniel Bryan, he beat a short guy?
Right.
Like, the thing is, like, there's so many other things to go after Daniel Bryan for.
He spent his entire career so far backing up somebody who was shorter than Daniel Bryan.
Well, here's the thing, you guys. WWE likes to create storylines that are relatable to people. So when they were here for their four-year consideration in L.A., Stephanie McMahon specifically spoke on the fact that, like, a lot of these storylines play into, like, real-life situations so that people at home could be like, oh, I identify with that. And I think this whole storyline of Cass, Daniel Bryan, a big guy, little guy, it's just a bullying tactic. It's, you know, when bullies bully you when you're younger in school, do they make sense? No. Half the time, they don't make sense. But it's just something to be relatable on.
I would agree with you, except on the fact that we've already seen Daniel Bryan pushed around before.
And we've already seen him beat Cass easily.
That too.
Like, yeah, but they're trying to establish Cass's character and make him a superstar. So they're working with Daniel Bryan to bring him to the next level.
Which I'm totally fine with.
It's not going
to
happen unless Cass wins, which I don't foresee him winning.
I see. I don't know. I mean,
we'll get to that shortly.
But I also feel that with Daniel Bryan, there's so many things. Like, he was gone for 3 years. Like, that is the basis of this feud of, like, I'm new here, I'm want to be on top, and you're just waltzing back in the door after being gone for 3 years. Like, why? And I want a shot. I'm stepping over you that way of being like, no, you get to the back of the line just because you came back from injury and have been gone forever. That's not that should be the basis of why he's going after him. Not, you're just short and I'm tall and I should get what I want because I'm tall.
He's projecting his insecurities. He has nothing else to say about Daniel Bryan because Daniel Bryan's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing he really can say, something that's not even true.
But I also feel that if you're trying to, you know, I feel like it's more relatable to be like, you know, the veteran and the new guy coming in is more relatable of like to people. I don't know. I get the whole, it's just a lame, storyline. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I happen to like it, but we can all agree to disagree.
Yeah, we got to get into the main event because then we have the wrestling wrap and predictions. So we don't have too much time left.
Gotta stick to that screenplay.
Yeah. Rough. 10 women tag match for the main event. I loved Lana got some action early in. They let her get some time in there. Sonya and Carmella on the heel side. Pretty much in most of the match, which was really good, I thought, for both of them. Let Sonya stand out a bit, and also showed Carmella, hey, just because she's a champion, she can still kick some ass.
Right.
The match, towards the last, like, 5-6 minutes, all of a sudden really picked up the pace. Beautiful moonsault by Charlotte to the outside of the ring on Peyton and Billy. Mandy Rose, in the midst of it, cut her arm, and then still was wrestling around and moving around and making sure that blood wasn't getting anywhere.
What's a little cut?
They're
tough. And then eventually we have Asuka and Carmella both as the legal women in the match. Asuka countered Carmella, put her in the Asuka lock. Carmella tapped out. Asuka celebrates with the good guys, the good girls. as SmackDown gets ready to go off the air, as the rest of the women start staring at the Money in the Bank briefcase, and then realize if we win this, we can cash it in on Asuka if she makes Carmella tap on Sunday.
I liked how they ended with Asuka and Carmella in the ring.
Yes.
At the final moments of that match to gear us up for Sunday.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was at least a good interaction between them. Yes. The ending over of the overall show was kind of weird, of like them all just staring. And I mean, I get what they were going for, but I mean, it was kind of, I don't know. It was kind of flat for me.
I feel like they had an extra 30 seconds to spare.
Yeah. I was going to say that you must not have liked a lot of those matches before WrestleMania when all they did was stare at the WrestleMania sign.
I definitely don't.
15 seconds.
Another thing for them to point at and stare at.
So that's how SmackDown ends. But before we get into predictions, Gabby, you got some news for us. So it's time for some wrestling rap. We need Kevin Owens' music.
Yes. Hit it.
Here we go. It has been hit.
This week, Jericho remains loyal to Vince McMahon and WWE. Since winning the Intercontinental Championship title with New Japan Pro Wrestling this past Saturday, many people are wondering if Jericho will be appearing in the U.S. to defend his title. Well, New Japan will be at the Cow Palace in San Francisco on July 7th, and Jericho refuses to attend. He told Inside the Ropes that he was offered to appear on both U.S. shows and said no. He said he feels to compete in the U.S. would be a slap in the face to Vince McMahon. Plus, he doesn't want to lower his value by accepting every booking he is offered. Do you guys think Jericho's decision to not compete in the U.S., you know, surprises you?
It doesn't surprise me, but I 1,000% support it. I think it's a brilliant idea by Jericho, because this man can do no wrong at this point.
Yeah.
In the last 3 months, he has had an appearance for WWE's biggest event in Saudi Arabia. His band has been more successful than ever. He has been appearing on all different types of, like, game shows. His cruise is set up to have people from Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling face each other.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah, he became a 10-time Intercontinental Champion at New Japan Pro Wrestling and appeared on Being the Elite with the Young Bucks.
Lot going on.
This guy can do no wrong. He could do it all. He's done so much in the business where he can say and do what he wants. Mm-hmm. And I love that he's still showing the loyalty to Vince with this. But at the same time, still doing all his other stuff.
Yeah. I really thought he would be at All In. At least. I thought he would at least show up there. And I thought maybe that'd be a cool place if he was going to, you know, drop the title back to someone else. At least there's a title match on that card. But
NWA titles on the line.
Yeah. Right. I just meant like something else. You know, I mean, Jericho is a big name.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already sold out. So, what, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I agree with it. I think it's cool. If you want to go see Jericho wrestle, you got to go to Japan.
Or his cruise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which he also, yeah, then the cruise is a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm. I can respect his decision to say no when the time is right. So, go Jericho.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. WWE announced that The Undertaker will be making his in-ring return to Madison Square Garden on July 7th. This will mark the third match for Undertaker this year. You know, if he doesn't partake in SummerSlam, that will be thus far. Kind of crazy, right? Like, you know, there was a WrestleMania in Orlando where he retired and he came back and now he's doing more matches than ever.
This is, I think, a special, like, it's going to be like a 3-minute squash match, but he's going to appear at Madison Square Garden, which is such a huge deal. I'm still against the fact that he came back after that WrestleMania in Orlando because I wanted to say that I was there for his final match.
Yeah.
And now I can't. And now I can't, Undertaker.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was such a perfect way to go out.
Yes.
Like, it was just, you know, you can't write that any better. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I agree. It's going to be a little squash match against someone. And I mean, I'm fine with him doing, like, 2-minute matches.
Yeah.
At a live, like, it's a
special
live event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are working him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, they're going to pay him a lot of money. They better be getting that money worth.
I guess it's worth it.
Yeah. But then I want to know, counting that match, who's wrestled more times in 2018, Undertaker or Brock?
Undertaker.
Would it probably be
Undertaker? Yes. That's amazing.
He's only wrestled once. Did he wrestle Royal
Mania
Rumble?
And Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah, so that's twice.
Twice?
But if he doesn't show up at MSG, then we know
the answer
is. Well, Stephanie McMahon, we saw on tonight's show, will be appearing on CBS's Undercover Boss. There's now a celebrity edition. So that seems like a really interesting season. Mm-hmm. They actually put a blonde wig on her and made her Samantha Miles, who's a single mom trying to learn about WWE for her blog. What has this world come to? But the show is shooting a celebrity season, and she's taking a look at the WWE universe from a different perspective. And I'm just wondering, you know, WWE is all about giving back to the community, but will Stephanie McMahon give back to her employees on this episode?
I think she has to.
That's the whole point of the show, right?
It is, but I haven't seen the celebrity version, so yeah, I have no idea what happens. Yeah.
I just hope somebody is, like, talking trash on her.
Like, how do they not recognize her, though? No, like, she does look pretty similar.
But I think I've seen the picture way too many times now to know, like, I know that it's her.
But don't the people working there know that it's her?
No, but I think, I don't know. I think you're just like, oh, this is another woman that's here. Like,
I've never really, there are so many reality shows that I don't believe are real. And this was one of them.
I was talking to Tony about this, and I actually met with people from that show. And I know a little bit about it, so they do keep things pretty top secret. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure how the celebrity version works, especially if, like, a well-known name like that. People probably know what she looks like. Mm. Unless she's working in a part of WWE undercover that, like, those people are totally clueless. Who knows?
Yeah.
Could be possible.
No. What's more real? Total Bellas or undercover?
Total Bellas is real, you guys. I'm not arguing with you anymore about this.
Is that everything for WrestleMania?
There's Kevin Owens.
Oh, God. Another Kevin Owens. All right, what we got?
There's always going to be a Kevin Owens, okay? So, Kevin Owens went radio silent on Twitter back in April, but he's back now. That's all that matters. KO is officially public on the social site, and he's been verified for the second time. His reason for the return, you may ask? Well, he said, I got verified again so that I can beg Shania Twain to play my favorite song when I'm at her concert this summer in Montreal, because I will be there. According to his Twitter bio, that is the only thing that he has put up. So I guess he's reactivated it just for Shania Twain.
Ah, he's the best.
I love Kevin Owens.
That's about it for my wrestling wrap this week.
All right, there's wrestling wrap. So we only got a couple minutes left. Let's get into predictions. We got Money in the Bank predictions. That is this Sunday. You can definitely check out the AfterBuzz after show for Money in the Bank Sunday night as well. We're going to run through the Raw matches super quick because we don't really talk about them. We'll just tell you who we think are going to win. And then the fun matches, the SmackDown ones. Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn. It's got to be Lashley, I think, right?
Yeah. Sorry, Sammy.
I'm going to go with Sammy.
All right. There you go. Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal.
It's got to be Jinder for sure.
Jinder.
He's the future.
You guys are insane. Roman Reigns is going to win because he's Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns has been losing, okay?
Intercontinental title. This match I'm looking forward to. Seth Rollins versus Elias. Elias, new champ.
Elias.
I think he's a perfect Intercontinental champion.
Yeah, I say he smashes Seth with guitar, and that's how he wins.
All right. Raw Women's Championship, Nia Jax defending against Ronda Rousey.
Come on.
You go first, then.
It's ridiculous. I think, here's the thing. If there's disqualification, then Nia could retain.
Right.
Right? Hmm. So I think that's one option. Option B, second choice, is Ronda wins if it's a fair match.
I mean, I think they're just going to give it to Ronda. Like, I mean, I think Nia Jax has not had a good run. I mean, not that they really give her anything.
The run just started.
I know, but I don't think they've really done anything with her. So
Natty's going to cost Ronda the match. Nia retains.
By thinking she's like almost looking like she helps her, or...
We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, and it would be better for Ronda to win that title at a bigger event, like a SummerSlam, WrestleMania.
True, but...
Money in the Bank is in the...
But I think a feud with Natty and Ronda is just begging to happen, and that'd be a great feud that would not have to involve the title.
Mm-hmm. To go to SummerSlam, at least?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
From there, now we start getting to the SmackDown side. This match has now been announced for the kickoff, the tag titles... Because we had nothing shown tonight for him. Bludgeon Brothers defend against Gallows and Anderson. It's Bludgeon Brothers, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be really weird if the club won. So.
Yeah.
Bludgeon Brothers.
All right. Big Cass versus Daniel Bryan. We kind of picked on this a little bit earlier. I would not be surprised if Daniel Bryan win this match in 2 minutes. I almost feel like it's going to get to that point.
I guess it depends where it is on the card for me. If it's after the Money in the Bank, then I say Big Cass wins because The Miz is going to cost Daniel Bryan. But if it's before, then I say Daniel Bryan wins.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Big Cass wins.
All right. SmackDown Women's Championship, Carmella defending against Asuka. This is where I feel the DQ will come from. So I feel Asuka's going to win by DQ to prolong this feud, so Carmella's still champ.
I agree.
Gabby?
Asuka wins the title.
All right. Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, representing SmackDown, Charlotte, Naomi, Lana, and Becky, representing Raw, Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, Amber Moon, and right now, Natty. Because they've been playing that knee injury for Natty. I would not be surprised if she somehow gets taken out. They replace her with Bayley, so they can still do more Sasha Bayley stuff. But in the end, I'm so torn in this.
Yeah, this is really hard to pick.
Both Money in the Bank matches are really hard.
Yeah.
Wait, can you list off the names again for the women?
Charlotte, Naomi, Lana, Becky, Alexa, Sasha, Amber, Natty. I am leaning.
I think it's got to be SmackDown. Just because if Ronda wins, then it's kind of a weird, like, who's going to cash in on her?
Right.
But it's, I mean, because Asuka's already lost, so it's not like that would be, you know, that big of a threat. I'm gonna say Becky Lynch wins. She needs something new to happen, and it can feud her. It can start her and Charlotte feuding, I think, as well.
I think
Charlotte goes to win. Becky tips her off the ladder and grabs the briefcase.
I 100% agree. I was thinking Becky pulls it all as well. I'm torn between Becky and Alexa because I think Alexa will be fun with the briefcase.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I'm gonna say Becky. And again, to help propel her feud with Charlotte.
I think Becky's definitely a reasonable choice, but I'm going to go with Alexa.
Okay. WWE Championship, last man standing. This might be the fourth straight pay-per-view that this will not be the main event.
Really? You don't think it'll be the main event?
No, the men's Money in the Bank will close the show. They haven't hyped this match.
Yeah, but it's a last man standing.
This is a blow-off to the feud.
Maybe not.
You think this is going to go on even more?
Standing of the whole event.
Yes. Like, you think this is going to go on even more?
Yes, because Nakamura is going to finally win the title, and AJ is going to get his rematch.
Okay, fine. He gets his rematch next month. But still, come on. If they are going to make him, I want Nakamura to win. If they are going to make him champion, that should be the main event. Because also, then the briefcase will be out there. So whoever wins, if it's a SmackDown guy, they can hype that up of like, oh, whoever wins, they may get cashed in on tonight. You know,
that's why I don't think they'll do that, because I think they're going to open the show with the women's Money in the Bank match so they can tease that one. But they won't tease both for the same night.
Nakamura.
And by the way, I think Nakamura wins thanks to Gallows and Anderson.
Okay, yeah.
I think they help him.
Yeah, okay.
Finally, men's Money in the Bank match. Joe, Rusev, Miz, one of the New Day members, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Bobby Roode.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, six
of the eight, I would be happy winning.
Who wouldn't you be happy with?
I do not want Bobby Roode to win because I think he's better for the mid card. And for some reason, I don't see Finn Balor running around with a briefcase. Even though he's certainly a main eventer, no doubt about that. Any of the others, I think, would be very entertaining with the briefcase.
Yeah.
I want whoever it is on a New Day to win so badly. But I really think, and if we go old school logic, based on what happened tonight, it'll be Joe. And also Joe, the last few weeks, his big thing in his promos has been, whatever I said I was going to do, I have done. And I think they can keep playing that because he said he's going to win the briefcase. I'm going to go Samoa Joe wins.
Okay. Who do you think?
I'm going to give my top three.
Okay. There's only one briefcase.
One briefcase, top three picks. Kevin Owens.
Shocking.
Samoa Joe, Rusev.
Okay.
I would say, I think it's going to be, there's so many.
I know.
There's so many possibilities. Like, I'd love to see Braun Strowman win it, but then wear it around his waist like awesome. An actual belt. Like, that's his belt buckle.
That'd be cool.
I think Sanity debuts to cost the New Day. I think I think you know, to set up that at least something, you know, to happen in the match. And then I'm gonna go with, oh my gosh, I mean, I want Rusev. I want Rusev.
All right, I love all these choices.
Yeah,
And we want to know what you guys think. So make sure you leave comments on the iTunes page and on YouTube. Let us know what you think. We're really excited for Money in the Bank. You guys should be too. So keep talking to us about it on those pages. And of course, on various forms of social media, Tom Connolly, how can people reach out to you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TomTheCom. Check out my Etsy store at Connolly Central.
Gabby.
You guys can keep up with me on Instagram and Twitter at GabbyLorenTV.
And follow me on Twitter at Will Rosenberg, Instagram, The Will Rosenberg, ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg. Buy yourself a Christian Rosenberg t-shirt today. And for other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow him on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Hope you enjoy Money in the Bank. For Tom Connolly and Gabby Loren, I'm Christian Rosenberg. We'll see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.